it seems that Russia is intensifying attacks on Ukraine. How did you find it?
It is a complete destruction of the armed forces of Ukraine and its meat grinder. And there are signs of preparations of something else, you know. So, but obviously, there's no guarantee for this. And judging by the hysterical counter narratives in the media, especially in American media, you can tell you immediately that they completely ran out of even of the wet fantasies. So, yeah, and yeah, the armed forces of Ukraine as such, I mean, they are a broken force, and judging by their desperate attempts to get anybody drafted, and obviously by the decreasing help aid from the West, that pretty much everything you need to know. Plus, again, we already know the strategy. We already know Vladimir Putin went out straight, you know, no mincing words. Odessa, Nikolaev are next, or rather Nikolaev than Odessa, and probably some other Eastern Ukrainian lands which were historically Russian. The rest of it, like he stated, yeah, let them have it. You know, let Poland enjoy Banderites.
The Pentagon believes that Ukraine is not yet at the point where it can defend itself. Is it possible for Ukraine getting to the point that they were before this war started?
Well, it's out of the fairy tales narratives. And as I already stated, not only SMR is a paradigm shift. I warned about this paradigm shift in all my books and in all my writing for the last 10 years. What we're observing here, and I have to admit, I was shocked myself. I knew they were not that good, but when the depth of the incompetence of the Pentagon and their planners have been revealed, it is astonishing. And if you look at the political elite in the United States, I mean, come on, I mean, look at these people. I mean, they are just basically, they have no clue what they're dealing with, and they don't have background, which is in terms of the serious intelligence analytical background, to wrap their brains around what is going on. And of course they operate, and you know what, they have this Muppet show with Mr. Biden, who again, as I don't know, he lives already now in some parallel universe. So, and those people who run the show, look at them. They are uncultured, miseducated incompetents. And as I am on the record, I won't allow even Anthony Blinken or Mark Milley to mow my lawn in front of the house. They won't be able to run 7-Eleven store. They will bankrupt it in, you know, within 2 weeks. So it's like, how can I even explain it? I know for many people, it is, and I write about this constantly, for them, it is an excruciating pain. Not all those people there are necessarily bad people. But as basically the events of the 2023 have shown, I wouldn't allow those people to command anything serious, you know. Evidently, we have the collapse of the always weak American strategic analytical field. It's non-existent. I'm talking about, of course, of the official field, so to speak, which works for government and those think tanks and so-called. I don't see any person who comes out there and says anything sensible. They parade themselves as clowns. And, well, our Russians are openly laughing at them.
Russian Defense Ministry announced that more than 500 satellites of the U.S. and NATO countries were operating in the interest of Ukrainian army. When you look at the Russian army today and the NATO army, why they failed to support Ukraine the way they wanted to be?
Well, because they didn't study the war and they didn't study warfare. As I already stated, I mean, none of them will be able to command anything, even their lowest unit, under modern conditions or modern warfare. They never understood anything. The only mythology, the only military science, so to speak, which is becoming annoying, nauseating, you know, it's just like, is the Gulf War. That's the only thing they know, beating the, you know, crap out of the third-rate military, which had no, you know, working air defense or air force. And now when you saw actually 70 of those satellites are pure military satellites, something like American Keyhole, which are on the lower Earth orbit, they provide a very good resolution picture, but again, they are in real world, they are vulnerable, they will be shut down or destroyed, you know, on the orbit. The rest of those 500 satellites are dual purpose. But the point is, as I already stated, they do not know how to operate with information. As I already stated, you know, basically, environment, so to speak, the circle people I am, so to speak, operate and talk to constantly, from Larry Johnson to Ray McGovern to Scott Ritter. These are the people who really kind of old school. They think logically and they think analytically. The rest of this, they are political generals or political colonels, what have you. They never studied Russia. They know nothing about Russia, none of them. Take any Russian so-called think tank in United States, it's going to be a collection of shysters, which basically tell United States people who are the customers of this information what they want to hear. And what they want to hear, all, practically all of those people in Pentagon and CIA, and they've been supplied with this information, how good they were and are, but they are not. And that's the whole point. They are uncritical. And as I already stated, we can now speak openly. Russians speak openly in the media. And I'm talking about Russian professionals of the colonel rank and generals that are actually people in the American elites lost their ability to think abstractly and basically analyze and synthesize the information. So as somebody today wrote in my blog beautifully, they haven't been taught how to think. They have been taught what to think. And as a result, we have, so it doesn't matter how much information they get, they do not understand what strategy is. They love to use the word strategy. And they love to refer everybody constantly to Sun Tzu and to Clausewitz. But how about we stop, you know, constantly referring to Clausewitz when basically he was writing this after the Napoleonic Wars, you know, especially being attached to the Russian army in a Napoleonic catastrophe in 1812. But they still continue to play, try to feed this something like this famous movie of the protagonist of the Idiocracy movie. When he was taking tests, you know, with the guys trying to put triangular shape into the circle, that's what they do. Most of it, there are some smart people, obviously, but I'm listening to them sometimes. It's like, my God, people, you cannot be that stupid. And when they especially begin to speak about Russia, Russian armed forces, military history of Russia, they live in delusion. It's alternative universe, it's alternative history, which basically builds around single most cancerous point of the American ideology of the 20th and 21st century. It's American exceptionalism. And as such, you cannot break to, you cannot explain to people that, again, as already stated, Leningrad alone during the siege of 1941-1944 lost several times more people than United States lost in its all wars combined. They cannot grasp this. They don't have this, you know, mechanism, organ, so to speak. That is why they deny history of World War II, for example, because they do not understand what they are dealing with in terms of scale. And evidently, I don't know, people say openly, they're mathematically, they are very challenged. So, and after I read a number of the faculty members of the Academy, U.S. Military Academy in West Point, from Tim Bakken to other people, cadre officers, and who, it's terrifying. It's, they wanted to go and make this U.S. Military Academy 3-year college. That tells you something, because academically, they're not even in the same league. And well, but then you have these people and they go out and, you know, produce all this garbage.
Joseph Borrell from the European Union and Sikorsky of Poland, they're talking about long-range missiles to be given to Ukraine to hit Russia. If they do such a thing, what would be the response on the part of Russians?
Well, we need to understand who Sikorsky and Borrell are. They are both morons. Sikorsky is evidently a mentally challenged man. I mean it. So he's psychopath or sociopath. His wife is obviously Anne Applebaum. She is the Russophobe neocon of neocons. All her life, what she did was writing falsified history books. By the way, that's pretty much who ran America's foreign policy in regards to Russia. And Borrell, I mean, he's an alcoholic, people say, but so yeah, whatever, you know, they decide nothing. Unless United States says so, they're nobodies, and obviously they can go out and, you know, spew the garbage which they spewing, and but they have no decision power over that. It's the only and again, what do they mean by that? I mean, United Kingdom and France, they provide the Storm Shadow and Scout missiles, which are standoff weapons, and they attack Russian civilian targets. They try to attack military targets, and then they try to attack. I mean, they are hell-bent to destroy Crimean Bridge. Mr. Ben Hodges, former Supreme Light Commander in Europe, NATO Forces Commander, the guy evidently, that's the, you know, flaming exhibit A of the complete nut job and absolutely ignorant hack who somehow got his general stars, who pretends that things are going in his alternative universe as he imagines. And there you go. It's pretty much the same thing. But in the end, the decision is made on the highest political level in the United States. Europe doesn't matter. There are nobodies, and they will tell what to do by the United States. If they will be told to go and drown themselves, which already happening, they will. So there you go. Makes no difference what they say.
If the Biden administration provides them with everything, how are they going to fight? How about the mobilization? How's the situation in Ukraine?
We already know a couple, 3 months ago, the average age of the soldiers of the armed forces of Ukraine was above 43 years old. It's going to inevitably grow, although again, it could be offset by the what they do now. Basically, they're drafting kids, 17-year-old children, and they are children when you're 17 years old, and even, you know, younger than that. And now we have the situation with the people with the Down syndrome, people with the, if you read already, it is all over in the news, the third category of the disability, which includes, of course, you know, even some limbs missing, you know, they are drafting those people. So we have now very many occasions on which Russians capture or kill women, many women on the front line there. And yeah, that's pretty much it. The rest of them ran away to Europe. The rest, normal people, obviously moved to Russia. And they don't have this mobilizational potential. But then again, you have to keep in mind, United States never did mobilization in modern time, because basically United States what operates on the volunteer armed forces, which is to say the mercenary forces, which are designed only for the expeditionary warfare against some weak enemy, and then which they proclaim great victories. Well, they lost all their wars, but still, nonetheless. And they do not understand what is a mobilization on the state level. They never operated with this. The only thing they ever came close was this draft during the Vietnam War and this lotteries, which, by the way, some of the Ukrainian MPs now yesterday said, okay, why don't we create this lottery? Well, whatever you create, you have to have numbers. You have to have mathematics, but evidently those people, including retired Mark Milley, who said that, you know, Ukraine has to go and more people have to go and die, obviously. So because his reputation is completely destroyed, he's an amateur. And so that's what they desperately need, some more cannon fodder being thrown into this meat grinder. Russians are gladly abiding. But the point is, yes, they are at the point that they cannot create the proper army. They cannot train people. And that's the serious situation for them. You can draft some people. How much time do you have to train those? Well, 2 weeks. You're not going to train a good soldier in 2 weeks, let alone your unit. You cannot create combat cohesion. You cannot create the ability to maneuver. You cannot create the ability to operate within the modern battlefield, and especially under the fire impact, which Russians gladly provide on the into their tactical and operational depth. And so there you go. And again, it is on record. Ukrainian commanders, tactical level commanders, battalion, brigade level, and even up to the core level, which is already, you know, operational level, they already stated, we discarded all those NATO manuals. They do not work. It's garbage. They all came back to the Soviet combat manuals, which are field manuals in United States. So you have those bunch of people there. who went through some American and NATO military academies and institutions to be prepared. Useless. Useless. And that's why we have this, well, it's panic and hysteria, and but considering the fact that you have fanatics in neocons who are ready to basically, you know, just kill everybody just to harm Russia and settle accounts, whatever their grievances are. So there you go. So it, will there be the war to the last Ukrainian? It's already happening. We already have the situation of the Volkssturm, a repetition of the 1944-1945. There you go.
We've heard that Germany sent soldiers to Lithuania at the border with Russia, and Spain sent soldiers to Slovakia at the border with Russia. Are we going to have more escalation? Is Ukraine that important for NATO to confront Russia with nuclear bombs?
Well, the probability of this obviously is not very high. I'm not saying that this is not possible. It's certainly possible. And again, you have to understand, you have people whose careers and whose all life work, where they pretended to be very important, very great military leaders, it's all myth. It's all garbage. You can throw this, basically, as I already stated, most people in Pentagon would know what to do on the modern battlefield. And because they made it so important and escalated with Russia, especially in the end 2022, 2023, and they sustained catastrophic strategic defeat, which has a gigantic geopolitical, well, is already having gigantic political geopolitical ramifications with the combined West losing. Conventionally, NATO, the whole United States Army, as it is today, you can put it into the battlefield in Ukraine. Russians will mobilize more 2.5 million people, and then the United States Army will be done in a couple of weeks. It will simply run out of the shells, out standoff weapons, and then it will be obliterated. So combined, let alone the Bundeswehr is a joke, okay? Same goes for French army, let alone Italian armies. The general, well, you have the whole mighty United Kingdom with the whole combat-ready brigade. So, and even that is questionable. And now you have those Germans, you know, who said, we're going to create the new fully combat brigade. It's about 5,000 to 6,000 people, number of the tanks, you know, so you're probably going to stick like a hundred or a couple hundred tanks there and armored vehicles, more of that. But they will be ready to do it by 2027. So, you know, this is what it is. They are afraid. They are afraid. And they soiled their pants just because of that. Hence, when you look at this hysteria and garbage, which all of them spew, be that is John Kirby, who is an embarrassment to the U.S. Navy, his admiral, so to speak, who comes up with just absolutely, you know, confabulated fantasies. And so most of them are. You look at many American generals, be those Petraeus, Skins, and everything, who never won anything in their life and run away from the people with sandals and, you know, AK-47s. But you have to understand, obviously, there could be momentum, psychiatric momentum, as I already stated, because we are dealing with people who cannot think abstractly and they will not be allowed to command in any serious armed forces on the modern battlefield. They have careers, they have their well-beings, you have the complete discreditation of the American political system. You can see the stance of the United States literally crumbling each day. Would be that, you know, snafu and fubar in the Red Sea against Yemenis. They withdrew the general fall because they are afraid to lose it. So you have this situation, and the world sees this. And yesterday, you see what? Saudi Arabia, Iran, and, you know, Egypt joined BRICS. Now you have Venezuela joining it next year. What do you have? You have the full control, not only of the most important choke points, be them in the Persian Gulf or in the Red Sea and, you know, the canal. You suddenly have the, this economic bloc, which owns most of the, you know, world's resources, energy. What's left? What can you find in Italy or United Kingdom or Germany? They have nothing. And then suddenly you look indeed at the millennium, once a millennium paradigm shift, geopolitical paradigm shift, with the West fading into the obscurity and becoming important but second tier power. when they look at the Chinese economy, it dwarfs European Union, okay? And so militarily, well, they want to fight Russia, sure. So can this momentum, can this psychological pressure build to the point of using nukes? Well, difficult to say. I don't know. I hope so, that U.S. Armed forces still retain enough responsible and honorable men serving there. And I know there are some there who will not allow this to happen, because after that, it will be over for Europe in 15 minutes. For United States, it will be over in 25. So, and that's the situation. So Colonel Wilkerson obviously has a much better inside track, you know, with his environment of the, you know, people, and he obviously communicates with people who served many years in Pentagon and commanded some things there. So I don't know, but I cannot deny the fact that the psychiatric, so to speak, not in psychological, psychiatric, you know, like the child, petulant child, which breaks, you know, its own toys and throw them, you know, thrown tantrum. Can we expect this from this administration? Absolutely. That's possible. Look at the people who operate there. They are psychopaths, most of them, or sociopaths, rather. Many of them are cowards. Psychopaths don't have the sense of fear like normal people do. So those have a lot of fear, but they're sociopaths. They don't have sympathy. And at some point of time, who knows? Who knows? But hopefully not.
I remember Putin once talked about these nuclear bombs. He said Russia will not be the first country to use nuclear bombs, but it definitely wouldn't be the second one to use it. They have these satellites. They can monitor everything. Do you think that the United States is ready to sacrifice Europe, such a battle of nuclear bombs? It would be so devastating for Europe.
Not only they are ready, they want to sacrifice Europe, because they are one-trick ponies who know nothing in terms of history. They don't understand the context, because they're, well, again, look at what they teach in the history courses. It's a complete garbage, especially regarding Russia. So they think they want to repeat the World War II. Okay, let's start the war in Europe, you know, while we sit out, you know, beyond the ocean and, you know, as always. And then we'll repeat, you know, the Marshall Plan, and we'll start, you know, provide Europe, destroy Europe with our, you know, money and all that, Bretton Woods and all this. These people are nuts. They not, as I already said, they're illiterate people. You cannot speak to any of them, and they will be offering serious historic, economic, and military argument. They don't have any. But they know this thing that, United States, prior to the World War II, it was literally disintegrating economically. You can read up on that, no less from the website of the Federal Reserve System, which explains what was economic situation. And then suddenly, within 1941, everything changes. United States achieves within 4 months full employment, once their land lease, basically legislature, went through the Congress. And there you go. After war, what do you have? You have Europe completely devastated. And even that is nothing compared to what was with Soviet Union, which was completely flattened, most of its European part. And guess what? Here comes the United States, you know, all in white tuxedo, you know, and here we are, guys. Let's help you. Here are the loans. Here we use the U.S. dollar as the reserve currency. Bretton Woods, all these things, you know, democracy rules. They think that they can repeat it, which they, of course, can. And many of them, being by education, most of them actually lawyers, nothing wrong with being a lawyer, or political scientists, which is lack of any education. In fact, their political science degree in the United States means basically that you are basically dumped down to the point of not understanding the world around, because this is what it is. And when you look at this, and suddenly you recognize that, oh yeah, they wouldn't mind. You know, they would love to sacrifice Europe. And then again, look at Nord Stream 2. Hey, what else do you need? But the point is, those people, they do not understand that once they start something like this, in 30 minutes, there will be no Washington, D.C., no New York. Well, there will be no everything military installations, which will be actually, you know, around most of the United States. But Washington, D.C. is the capital, of course, and the Arlington, which contains both CIA and Pentagon. They call this, you know, little hot dog stand within the center of Pentagon Ground Zero for a reason. Because everybody understands one of the mirrors, you know, of the warheads will fly right into this, you know. So, and there you go. But those people are such in the such state of delusion and now in the such state of grief. Who knows? Many of them, as I already stated, they are dangerous people.
Ukrainian foreign minister recently stated that Europe doesn't know how to fight. When it comes to the Europe and the support that goes to Ukraine, what else the European Union can do for Ukraine?
Militarily, I don't think so. They have much left. It's now the fact admitted even by the Pentagon that, for example, US stocks of the most, you know, things such as shells, tanks, and everything, they are depleted. And they were buying pretty much everything from Europe, especially from the former Warsaw Pact countries. But when you look even at the tank forces of, let's say, France, let alone Bundeswehr, and now you see that those reputations blown out of the water, you know, for all this hardware, very little in terms of the actual war material. You see, you can send more Patriots, whatever's left of the stock, but you need them elsewhere. And again, Russians openly laugh at the Patriots, you know. So, and then you can get NASAMS or something slightly more, will not change a thing. In terms of money, again, how good money is when you cannot buy something for it, you know? So it's like you can have whatever the money you have. And in this particular case, the money and the financing of Ukraine was primarily about keeping the Ukrainian state in semi-animated form, which was going towards primarily financing the services of the Ukrainian government, paying out some pensions, so to maintain a minimum level of stability, so to speak, just keeping you hungry, but not dying from hunger. Now they cannot do even that. But then again, even if they have, okay, let them have it, makes no difference.
We had this attack on Belgrade. What's in their mind when they're doing such an attack?
Most of them hate Russian gods, as I already stated. Many of them are psychopaths and sociopaths. And now they have this humiliation. There's 1,900 of NATO personnel deployed within their staff and command structures of the armed forces of Ukraine. It has been confirmed. So, hey, they thought they're so good, and now they have their asses handed to them. So they obviously are desperate. So, and they wouldn't mind killing children. And, you know, there are many of them are completed terrorists. And so, well, hey, look at Gaza. Look at Gaza. Hey, no big deal for them, you know. As I already stated, they're sociopaths. I mean, they have no sympathy. Most of those people, they don't have honor. They don't have a military integrity. So, yeah. And the United States provides targeting, and it provides the electromagnetic picture of the eastern part, basically, of Russia, not only Ukraine. And, yeah, it designates targets. And, hey, so you had this Mr. Zelensky personally ordering a killing of children and civilians in Belgrade. And, hey, France didn't even condemn it. They said it was self-defense. So I think so when, you know, Paris will begin to burn, I get those Muslims, they are in self-defense. They should be encouraged to burn, you know, Paris. That's the way to go. So there you go. You're looking, when you already heard and probably read what Mr. Medvedev stated about French. Some words, though, are not translatable in English language. So, and these are the same type of the personnel which from NATO countries which serve there. They are Russophobic to the extreme. And again, now they recognize that they are amateurs militarily. The only thing they can do is to designate some targets. Obviously, the way their NATO planned all these operations, you read nowadays when it was disclosed, basically. These are insane people. They are just militarily illiterate. You read these plans on breaking through Melitopol. I mean, my gosh, what do they teach them in U.S. Army War College, let alone in Sandhurst? Sandhurst is not even serious military education. You cannot prepare serious level officer in 13 weeks.
Now, what's your assessment of these air defense systems provided to Ukraine? And how capable are these defense systems?
No, not very capable. They cannot stop the salvo of the supersonic missiles, let alone they cannot stop Kinjal. That is why you have this new BS, obviously originated in the Washington and London, that, yeah, you know, they shoot down all those Kinjals. Well, it's all designed for people with their zero background in physics and mathematics, people who do not understand how this is how the air defense technologies operate and what targeting is and how to develop the firing solution. For those people who know this, they know it's all BS, but it's all propaganda. No, they cannot, not very effective. And you saw yourself, quote unquote, effectiveness of those PAC-3 with American crews, no less. During the attack of Houthis at the Saudi Arabia oil fields, they couldn't intercept slow drones. Now you have salvo of the missiles, which not only leave you practically no time for developing firing solution, even X-32, it has the speed Mach 4.6. It's not hypersonic yet, but it is extremely high supersonic. They cannot intercept the salvo. They might be lucky to shut down one missile like X-32. They will not shoot down any Kinjals. And especially when you look at the flight path, you look at the way it attacks into the vertical cone over the air defense systems. And yeah, I mean, it's all about, it's, listen, the only thing they are good at in general, it's about propaganda. You have Hollywood, you know, you have Top Gun 1, Top Gun Maverick, you know, you have these people who really believe this baloney, and then they now encounter real military and then, well, guess what? So, and I am on the record for 10 years. United States is lagging behind Russia, not by years in air defense systems and modern rocketry and missilery. They lag by generation or two. So, and that is why when you read the report of Mr. Gerasimov, Chief of General Staff, on the 28th of December, a week ago, 7,600 targets have been shot down by the Russian air defense systems. So, I mean, this is their combat efficiency of air defense system, which is beyond reach of the modern NATO systems. And again, I'm on the record for years now. Those are legacy systems. Those systems were designed to fight, I don't know who fight, you know, the guys from Bahrain, maybe, you know, nothing wrong about, you know, being Bahrain, but that's about it. And salvo paradigm, and especially massive salvo paradigm, well, as you know, what, for 22 months, Russia was running out of missiles, right? So she's still running out of them. That's the level of the analysis. That's the level of the Western media. They are basically full of you know what. So, and they make this up. It's all about alleviating the pain from the grief. They have been exposed for what they are.
At the end of the day, do you think if they continue this way of supporting Ukraine, Russia finally would go to the western part of Ukraine?
Russians do not need western Ukraine. Let them rot there with Poles, and Hungary will take its own piece. Romania will take Bukovina and all that. It's clear. Mr. Putin, Mr. Medvedev, Mr. Gerasimov, Mr. Shoigu are very clear. Their strategic political objective is removal of the Nazi regime from Kiev. And then Russia will dictate, unconditional surrender, you know, to the West. And that's why they are in panic mode. Vladimir Putin 2 days ago stated, our enemy, which we knew it all along, our enemy is not Ukrainian people. Our enemy is the combined West. There you go. And now when you think, for example, about, again, what Mr. Medvedev stated, and by the way, Mr. Medvedev might become at some point of time the president of Russia after Vladimir Putin goes. Do you remember what he said about France? What he said basically about the West? Russians are done with the West. So the only thing which will be done, the regime will be removed, some rump, maybe even not rump, but whatever will be left of Ukraine, it will be under Russian control. It will have only police force, and Nazis will be hunted down all over the world, especially after the tribunal, which is being prepared, Ukraine war crimes tribunal in Donetsk and Moscow will start its proceedings. And there you go. So after that, nobody cares what West thinks. And that's why they're trying to come up with this BS. They constantly come up with these narratives. They invent some stuff and say, okay, the latest fad is that Ukrainians shoot down all kinjals, the previous one that Russians allegedly have been, you know, seeking some political solution. No, Mr. Peskov, spokesperson, comes out and says, it's baloney. Nobody says anything like this. But here you go. Washington Post, Wall Street Journal, they literally make things up. That's the, they live in the alternative reality. They keep American public completely brainwashed because that's the only thing they do. The only thing which Pentagon can do is do PR, period. As it turned out, they cannot do proper planning, any campaign. They don't understand what strategy, military strategy is, let alone what nation state strategy is, which is the highest level of strategy, and how all those things, starting from the military strategy to the economic development, are all tied together in what you can observe now for the last 2 years. And those people don't know it. They don't understand it, but they feel many sense, many others understand on the intellectual level. They understand that at some point of time, there will be the barrel of the Russian gun to their temple, and they will do as Russia says. And that will be the end of the West as we know. It's already the end, pretty much, you know. It's just a matter of how you formalize this situation, period. There will be no negotiations. There will be only possible meeting between Russians and Americans. Europeans mean absolutely nothing there, as I already stated. And Russia and the United States will decide how we will continue to live in this world. But Russia will tell the United States to get the hell out of Europe, you know, and they probably will do it because economically, the United States is on the verge of the not recession. We have been in recession for a while. It is nearing the Great Depression level of economic calamity.
It seems that in Germany, the German defense minister is going to replace Olaf Scholz. In your opinion, is that going to change anything on their policy in Ukraine?
No. You basically, Russians have their very good proverb, changing shila na myla, so I cannot even explain it, you know, how to translate it properly, but basically it's one garbage, you know, instead the other, you know. There are no normal people in German's political elite, and even those Christian Democrats, you know, whatever they are all marionettes, they're all puppets. They will do as United States tells them to do, and they will do nothing. Angela Merkel is classic example of it. She sold the country to the United States and did it just basically, you know, even apologizing for the fact that United States was eavesdropping on her. You know, so who will come there? There are nobody. And that's the whole point. This is what everybody talks in Russia now. You have the political elites which are dumb. They cannot speak, cannot think abstract way. You have Annalena Baerbock, for crying out loud, who turns the world 360 degrees. So, I mean, Liz Truss, remember Liz Truss? These are geographically challenged people on the level of the middle school. Mr. Scholz never held a job in his life. Same Pastorius. What's the difference? So, I mean, show me anybody who has the state mind, you know. Where are the statesmen or stateswomen? None. They do not prepare them. That's why Harvard education today or Georgetown is garbage. You basically, as I already stated, you get out there, you know, colorless marionettes which are taught what to think. They cannot think. There is no morality or anything. They're just told, here it is, you know. This is your way, and this is how you do it. If not, bye-bye, you know? And considering the fact that most of those so-called education is useless in the real world. So they, you know, they do whatever they can. They sell their souls, they sell their whatever left of their integrity, and they continue on. And that's what it is. It's, again, as I already writing for a number of years, the combined West is the dead man walking. Germany is done. People do not understand a catastrophe which befell on German people. And guess what? They did it laughing and electing those people. Now nobody cares what German people do. They had their chance. They continued. They wanted to live well. Well, they're not going to live well anymore. On the 8th, they have their all-national strike. This is just the start. And yeah, they will be fooled again because, you know, French, they elected Macron twice. I mean, in the last elections, he absolutely trashed, you know, Marine Le Pen. Hey, somebody has to, you know, bear responsibility for their decisions, right? So you wanted it, you got it, live with that.
The French publication Le Parisien has called 2023 the year of Putin.
First, the West, as I already stated, they don't have resources, economic, let alone military. Technologically, we suddenly recognized what they are, which have been predicted. They are, you know, they're still operating within the 1980s and 1990s paradigm. No, it's very clearly stated what Russia wants. It's so clearly stated, so well articulated. Then you have this bunch of the low lives with these degrees in nothing, which is called journalism schools in the West. And they begin to write all kinds of garbage because they need to form and manipulate already completely brainwashed, you know, Western public. So, and at this stage, who cares what Time magazine writes, or let alone those bunch of the morons from Oxford behind, you know, Financial Times? They're nobodies. They are absolutely, you know, pipsqueaks whose opinion, the only thing they can do is like the, you know, Wizard of Oz to create the virtual reality, and that's it. Russia doesn't care about virtual reality. And this is what French do not understand. This is what Germans do not understand. Russia is done with the West. If tomorrow West will burn into the civil war, or for example, radical Islamists will, which by the way, French lie about the real percentage of those people, they will start burning Paris or burning Marseille or burning, you know, whatever, you know, Munich. Well, too bad. Let them deal with that. And this will happen. London will implode, you know, so Russians are not going to save them. Russians are never again the foot of the Russian soldier will, you know, will be put on the soil of the Europe. Never again. If they die from hunger, well, Russia may be able to send some humanitarian aid. Let them, as you know, this is the overwhelming attitudes in the Russian society. They can go to hell. Okay. And actually, Russians want the iron curtain between this, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah, which Europe has become. But with the United States, you have to talk for a simple reason, because you are two superpowers. You need to communicate to nuclear superpowers, which, and again, you have to make the arrangements. Only three countries will be making them. I am on the record for many years on that. United States, China, and Russia. How this triangle will rearrange the world? Well, Russia and China decided to go for BRICS, and it already is having a gigantic impact on the world. And so, you know, and that's what it is. Mr. Putin said so much openly. And I don't know the higher source of the information, but again, as Mr. Lavrov stated to the CNN correspondents a couple of years ago during one press conference, that they asked him a question. He said, oh, just write whatever you want because you will lie anyway. So you will pervert it, what I will tell you anyhow. So there you go. Nobody cares what they think.
When it comes to Germany and other European countries, it seems that they are totally in the hand of the US foreign policy. But how about the United Kingdom? How do you find their policy? Do they have some sort of leverage on the US foreign policy, or they are as same as Germans and other countries?
No, they are a little bit different, because United States, first, they are basically Anglo world. And United States allows for now UK to still fantasize that they still matter. So in this particular case, the United States gives it a little bit of leverage. And, you know, you have to understand who their modern UK elite is. You know, they, many of them are really inbred. Many of them, they go into those, you know, degree mills, you know, get their degree in political science, come out, they're stupid like hell, you know. And, of course, they still pretend that they're a great empire, being absolutely economic and militarily pipsqueak. And, but the United States allows them to think about themselves as a great people. Eventually, if it will be necessary to sacrifice them too, well, the United States will go for that too. Yeah. So, but no, Europeans are complete, basically, they're nobodies, again, as I always say, vassals, lapdogs, you know. So, and if United States then tells them to do something, they will do it.
Let's talk about the next, in 2024, right now, we have a new election in the US. Are they going to have some sort of changes in terms of their policy in Ukraine, in the Middle East? Because it's all disastrous when you look at this.
No. First, you have to understand, we have the Uniparty in the United States, most of US Congress is controlled by the Israeli lobby, AIPAC, American-Israeli Public Relations Committee. Well, it's not just a Public Affairs Committee. It's a really Political Action Committee. They own most of the Congress. Mossad also owns just recent documents of the release just yesterday. You know, who is who in the U.S. politics and media? And so you basically have to understand, no, it's not going to change. And unless, of course, some people of the honor and true American patriots raise the hell with this, you know. But other than that, no, it will just, you know, what can I say? And again, United States has no resources to help Ukraine anymore. It might squeeze some billions of dollars, which are virtual money, as I already stated. They much of this money goes into the laundromat in Ukraine to support their policies of the Democratic National Committee. So, hey, if Biden wins second term, that will be that the country is done. It's over, you know. So, and as much as it hurts me to say this, but yes, America is sliding into oblivion as we speak. It is completely torn country. Political elites are totally treasonous, apart from being incompetent. And so when you look at this, you look at American people. I'm not talking about, for example, those evangelical and, you know, the Christian Zionists who support the massacre in Gaza. But I'm talking about just average regular Americans. It is all about the ending the country just to keep whatever the cabal they have there in power. Period. Simple as that. And there was no people of honor or, you know, who would just throw their resignation, go out, you know, practically publicly and stating what is happening. No, everybody retired. Everybody wanted their, you know, piece of pie, so to speak. So that tells me pretty much everything you need to know about it.
You know, in the mind of people like John Mearsheimer, China is peer competitor of the United States. There are many areas that Russia and the United States can cooperate when it comes to the space programs. It's so important. Are we going to have some sort of sanity to think about these important issues that they can cooperate on?
No, not in the observable future. And yeah, John Mearsheimer is a classic. He calls himself realist, but him calling United States the peer of China is laughable because economically China dwarfs the United States. But evidently, and I don't know what's wrong with those people from the political science field. They don't understand military power. They don't understand economy. Again, he has to know that just Chinese shipbuilding alone looks United States look at the third, if not fourth, world country, let alone the world. China produces 12 times more steel than the United States. So United States status as the military, as the superpower for now, rests not on what it used to be, economic powerhouse. So that's the only reason, the way it's built around. As I already stated, even if you looked at the U.S. Navy, the only thing which is still impressive there is a very good submarine component. Surface fleet of the United States is not designed for the modern surface warfare. And so this is just to give you an example. And when you look at this, it's all about, I said, again, China, Russia, and United States, how they will decide. But the United States is not peer competitor economically with China. Enough to say that China even produces three times more automobiles than the United States. So there you go. The only thing which is, again, I already stated, it's some pieces of the military political sector, industrial sector. And of course, United States is the home to the major aerospace industry, including the crown jewel, however tainted now, of Boeing. You know, and Boeing aircraft, they are still competitive. Some of them are state of the art and wonderful, especially wide body aircraft. And that's the crown jewel of the United States, which China doesn't have. So, and when China will have it, who knows, you know, but it's not easy to have such an aerospace industry as the United States has. So that's pretty much what forms the basis for the United States superpower. But in terms of the social development, and it's becoming increasingly like a third world, you know. So
what's happening right now in Ukraine is pushing Russia toward the east. Why they're doing this is all about this separation between Russia and European Union, or is there any type of grand strategy behind this?
No, there's no grand strategy. Rather, there are grand strategies, but most of them are basically mental. For example, when you look at Zbigniew Brzezinski and his grand chessboard, you know, and all that, you know, it's all garbage. I mean, it's all pretty much, as I already stated, anybody, well, the guy who never held a real job in his life, he was national security advisor to Jimmy Carter. He is the same as Kissinger, was whiteboard theorist, and all of them suck in the United States. They don't understand what grand strategy is. So they come up with all those, you know, ideas. Idea of Brzezinski was always to separate Russia from Europe, liberate Poland, you know, and things like that, and then break up Russia. So when you basically, instead of Russian history, and especially instead of Russian history of the 20th century, study garbage, then what do you expect? I mean, I speak about this also about John Mersheimer. I mean, you know, and it was all about separation of Russia from Europe, which was indeed, but now Russia actually willingly is doing this. That's the point. They never counter, as I already stated, that it's now openly Russian military analysts of the really high level, they openly state in media, I actually posted this today on my blog, that you look at these people, they cannot think. They cannot really think logically. They cannot have the abstract intuition in them. They just go and come up with some, you know, convoluted theory, which, of course, all of them fail. All of them, from Brzezinski to Fukuyama is it's becoming profanity in Russia, you know, because these people have no clue what they're talking about. And they write this garbage, you know, and then they try to follow them, then they hit the wall of reality, and suddenly, well, it's not anymore, they don't have to separate Russia from Europe. Russia will continue. Europeans, if they want to survive as efforts, all 500 million of them, they will have to buy really, at some point of time, their cheaper energy, because they still buy Russian energy, do not forget that. And Russia keeps those choke points open, like Hungary, for example. Of course, all that Turkey, you know, so, but the point is that it didn't work out, obviously. It didn't work out for the United States because they do not understand the nature of the person. All their, basically, academy is completely corrupt. And you begin to ask them basic questions. They don't know them. And they don't understand how the world operates. And again, when you look at it from the economic point of view, these are all Wall Street virtual economy financiers. They don't know how to run the freaking, you know, vacuum cleaner at home. They know how to make money on the Wall Street. They talk those large words, you know, like big words, like investments and things like that. And yet we sit at the what? National debt, what, 34 trillion? And the derivatives, which is the bubble above our head, they say it's in hundreds of trillions of dollars. And it's all fake economy, fake money. And there you go. So whatever they want, I mean, Russia is already in the East. But Russia, civilizationally, she transplanted everything what was the best in Europe. And so Russia doesn't need Europe anymore. Yeah, Russians don't want this Sodom and Gomorrah. You know, so, and again, what Europe is now is not Europe. If we talk about those values, values of the Enlightenment and things like that, it's gone. It's not there. Neither is democracy. It was all graft and it's all was an illusion. You know, it's just basically European oligarchy together with American oligarchy, you know, basically exploiting their own countries, their own people for their own benefits. And they were throwing those bones like, oh, yeah, each election you go out and elect the same people or the people will tell you to do, to elect. And that's it. So, and it came to an end. As always, the war was the main accelerator, so to speak, of it all. And we can see it, we observe now it in real time.
this type of policy that was pushing Russia to the east is going to be the case for Turkey, do you think at the end of the day, Turkey would consider joining Russia and China?
From what I know, while Erdogan is a power, he will be sitting on several chairs simultaneously. He is squeezing everything from everybody. It's normal. You know, it's classic, multi-vector policy. And for now, don't expect him to change anything. But Turkey definitely looks very much like a prospective member of BRICS. And they know it. Turks know it. They know they are important. You know, this is a fairly developed country, albeit now going through the serious economic troubles. But again, Turkey, there's now Iran, and they kind of vying all for the position of the leader of the Islamic world. So where it will lead, I don't know. But Turks know how important they are. And I think considering their polls on their opinions of Turkish population, there's definitely a lot of positive feelings towards Russia. And that means what? Turks inevitably will consider joining BRICS. Whatever is going to happen with NATO, I don't know.
Xi just recently talked about reunification of Taiwan with China. Is the United States going to have a new battle in Taiwan with China?
Well, considering the fact that United States government, administration, they don't understand what war is, they don't. And people who consult them, they don't either, including all those admirals and generals. But the point is that Z was unequivocal 2 days ago when he stated it's going to happen one way or another, and many in Taiwan actually do not mind, you know, doing this. So China now is, if you look attentively what is happening now in the field, very much covered in secrecy, but some we can get glimpses here and there in terms of the Russian and Chinese cooperation in military field. If God forbid the United States unleashes anything there and provokes anything, I think China will have Russia support, not only in terms of the targeting of things of this nature, but I think so we can talk now with certain degree of veracity, so to speak, that Russia will provide China with workable and combat-tested hypersonic weapons and things of this nature. So in this case, U.S. Navy surface force will have huge issues, you know, so to put it mildly. And again, United States doesn't know how to lose. And you can, considering the fact of the nut jobs, many of whom are in this administration and who are terrified of losing elections in 2024, between there could be situation with many of them ending up behind bars, you know, in jail, in prison. So could they go to the nuclear escalation? Again, it's not excluded, but I hope so, that there are still some people of the healthy mind, you know, who can help to prevent this catastrophe, because after that, as I already stated, once the nuclear device is blown, you know, exploded by the United States, all bets are off. And my gosh, I don't even want to go and discuss those scenarios, but I think China has enough resources at this stage to defend itself from in the first island chain, which of course involves basically, the Taiwan is inside this island chain. And eventually the military balance will be increasingly shifting towards China there. It's not there yet, but it continues to kind of slowly moving out, so that at some point of time, like the ripe fruit, you know, falls from the tree. Same going to happen to Taiwan, which eventually will just fall into the back to motherland, so to speak, the mainland, and that will be it. And again, as I already stated, United States is weak. The only thing it can do, it can show, you know, project that its power, talk a lot about it. It's not strong militarily. It's not ready for the modern war, and what can I say? It never was, actually, you know, so, but people still live in this, you know, Gulf War illusion. And
with this huge experience that the Russians have in Ukraine, are they going to provide China with military advisors if something happened in Taiwan.
Absolutely. Not only it will, it already happens, and it's not a secret. There are a number of Chinese officers, first, who, you know, attend, let's say, Academy of General Staff. We don't know how many, but there are Chinese officers at the Central Command Post of Russian Armed Forces. And as rumor has it, there are some of them attached to the combat units on the front lines of the special military operations. They are learning. Russia gladly shares them with the combat experience in the ground, you know, combined arms warfare operations of this immense scale. So there you go. And again, as I already stated, I'm positive that Chinese already have some Russian hypersonic weapons, which, like Kinjal, you know, plus they have their own, but Kinjal, unlike any other hypersonic system, is combat approved and combat proven, and it's an extremely serious system. And then, of course, as you know, the Zircon 3M22 hypersonic anti-shipping missile, it could be used against the land targets too. It's being deployed now in the first line ships of Russian Navy. So there is a very interesting situation there happening there.